recently purchased the second volume of the book Headlines by David Lichtenstein, and I saw an interesting, he has a number of interesting things. He has my interview that I did with Rabbi Willig about disgraced rabbis, he published in its entirety. But one of the interesting chapters that he has in the book, which I always thought was a fascinating discussion, is to what extent our responsibility, to what extent do we as Jews have a responsibility to teach non-Jews about their responsibilities on this earth. Meaning we know that non-Jews are obligated in Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, but is it our business whether they observe the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach or whether they're even aware of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach? Should we be going out and teaching them, here's what you got to do. You know, you believe in God, this is what God wants you to do. Now, for most of Jewish history, any discussion of whether we should be influencing the Goyim or not be influencing the Goyim was purely academic. It makes no difference what we thought we should or shouldn't be doing. We were just trying to stay alive. We were just trying to flee persecution. The idea that the Jewish community would have an impact on how non-Jews believed and how non-Jews worshipped and how non-Jews behaved was a pipe dream. It was not something we ever could have imagined. But then comes 20th century America, where Jews have freedom of religion and no one is threatening our religion, and certainly, thank God, so far continuing into the 21st century. And Jews also have a tremendous amount of influence on and friendships with co-workers and the like, and we have the ability to perhaps be mashpia about these Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. So that's where a debate arose. Should we be focused on that at all, or should we say, you know what, live and let live? We have our own issues, we'll deal with our issues, let the Goyim deal with their issues. You know, even though we have that recognition, as Rav Elchanan Wasserman puts it in such a dramatic form in Kovetz Ma'amarim, how a guy who never even heard of Shem Mrs. B'nai Noach is going to go up Lachar Me'aves from Shana, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to say, "Nu, how come you haven't observed Shem Mrs. B'nai Noach?" And if he doesn't have a good answer, if he hasn't actually observed Shem Mrs. B'nai Noach, he's going to go to Gehenim. So it's really, the Ratzon Hashem is that the Goyim do observe the Shem Mrs. B'nai Noach. So should we be responsible for that or not? So why, yes, why should we be concerned? So what David Lichtenstein does in his Sefer is he points to three factors that might motivate us, and he's not the one that made this up. The Lubavitcher Rebbe made a whole movement out of this. Three factors that might motivate us to want to express to the nations of the world how they are responsible for Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. One factor is the notion that is often repeated, Or Lagoyim, that we are put here on this earth not only to serve Hashem ourselves, but to be an Or Lagoyim, a light unto the nations, to show them how to serve Hashem. And the Navi in Yeshayahu, Perek Mem Beis, and again in Perek Mem Tes, refers to this notion of Or Lagoyim. But it may depend on how you view this notion of Or Lagoyim. Rashi, in Yeshayahu, Perek Mem Beis, understands that Or Lagoyim is actually a command for Yeshayahu to light up the path for the Shvatim, for Klal Yisrael, who in this context are referred to as Goyim, meaning each of the Shvatim are a Goy unto itself, and as a group, all of the Shvatim are the Goyim that make up Klal Yisrael. Rav Shachter often likes to talk about the idea that there's only Goy Echad Ba'aretz. We are the only Goy. All of the other, only Jews are a Goy, which is ironic when he said, only Jews are a Goy. Everyone else, all the other nations of the world are called Mishpachos HaAdama. They are the families of the land. They are not a Goy, only we are in fact a Goy. So when we are supposed to be, when Yeshayahu is commanded to be an Orla Goyim, it's actually referring to the Jewish people. It's not referring to the non-Jews, which would make this whole discussion moot as far as our responsibility of educating non-Jews. The Radak explains, no, it does refer to us teaching the nations of the world about the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, but the Radak says, that's only in the times of Geula. In the times of the final Geula, where the entire world is going to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu, then we need to teach them what their responsibilities therefore are in recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Netziv, in his commentary to Bereishis, Perek Tes, says that no, this is not only about times of Geula. The Jewish people are charged with the responsibility of improving the Amunah of every other nation. And in Harchiv Davar, in Bereishis Parak Yud Zayin, the Netziv says that the purpose of spreading us out in Golus in the first place was so that we will be able to teach throughout the Dalet Kanfos Haaretz about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, about monotheism, about the belief in the one and only God, and about what that entails. So therefore, it would seem, certainly if you say like the Netziv, but maybe even if you say like the Radak, there is some level of responsibility to teach based on Or Lagoyim. Now, if you say like the Radak, it's only if you hold that we're living in Mashiach Zeit, meaning that we're really at the times of Mashiach, we're really at the times of Geula. You can understand why this was such a sensitive topic for the Lubavitcher Rebbe, why he would want to make a push for something like this, because this was part of his Mashiach push, that we are living in the times of Mashiach, we're right at the doorstep of Geula, and therefore this becomes a very critical message. The second reason to perhaps teach, or the second issue to take into account when we discuss teaching the Sheva Mitzvot to Goyim, is the Gemara Chagiga Daf Yud Gimel learns from the Pasuk Lo Aschen L'chol Goyim Mishpatim Bal Yudalum that we're not allowed to teach Torah to non-Jews. Ein Mosrim Divrei Torah Lo Ovdei Kochavim. So the question then becomes, okay, we're not allowed to teach Torah to non-Jews. Does that include the Sheva Mitzvot? Are we also, or even, not allowed to teach the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach to non-Jews? So Tosos Maseches Chagiga over there on the spot says that no, it does not include the Sheva Mitzvot. Of course we're allowed to teach on the Sheva Mitzvot. They're responsible in the Sheva Mitzvot. Mitzvah Ika L'mosim Lahem. We have a mitzvah to teach on the Sheva Mitzvot. In Rav Moshe, in Yardei Chel Gimelsim Pei Tes, in Rav Moshe, and in Kovitz Shuvas, Rav Yashav Chel Gimelsim Kuf Mem Beis, they both assume that that's got to be the halacha, that of course we're allowed to teach them Sheva Mitzvos, and Yad El Yosim Mem Ches says that the raya is that we're allowed to teach them Sheva Mitzvos, is that the Rambam writes in the 19th parak of Maaser Karbanos, Halachat HaZayin, that you're allowed to teach a guy how to be Makrif Karbanos, which involves teaching him halacha. So it must be that anything he's allowed to do, or we would encourage him to do, and Goyim are allowed to bring karbanos, we accept karbanos from Goyim, anything that they're allowed to do or encouraged to do, we're allowed to teach them to do, because it would be unreasonable for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to demand them of them something, and then not allow us to give them or to show them what Hashem is in fact demanding of them. And that's why Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Aleph says there's a mitzvah to teach on the Sheva Mitzvot. The other side of that, though, is the Tosfos on the Ein Yaakov, and it's quoted by the Agos HaBach and the Seches Chagig over there, says that you can't even teach them Zayin Mitzvot. Part of the issue of teaching Torah to Goyim includes teaching about the Sheva Mitzvot. And that's based on the Gemara Bava Kama Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara Bava Kama writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw at Matan Torah that the Sheva Mitzvot Shekiblu Aleim B'nei Noach V'lo Kimum, that they accepted the Sheva Mitzvot, but then they were lax. They didn't fulfill the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and therefore, Amad V'Yitiran Lahem. Hashem was Matir, the Sheva Mitzvot for the B'nei Noach. So the Gemara says that after Matan Torah, the non-Jews are no longer, the Gemara explains, it doesn't mean that it was like, it means nothing to them, but they are no longer considered a Mitzvah V'yosa in the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Meaning when they do the Sheva Mitzvot, they no longer get the credit of someone who's Mitzvah V'yosa. Rather, they only get the credit of an Eino Mitzvah V'yosa, which is a much lower level of Schar than a Mitzvah V'osa. So the Tshuvas Pnei Yeshua, Yardea, Simon Gimel, Tshuvas Pnei Yeshua, if I'm not mistaken, was written by the grandfather of the Pnei Yeshua on Shas. He says that since they're no longer mitzvah, so there's no reason to teach them these mitzvahs. If they're not commanded in them, then we don't have to teach it to them anymore. The Rambam, in the 8th part of Hilchos Melachim, tells us that Tziva Moshe Rabbeinu Miti Agvura Lachuf Es Kol Baya Olam Lekabel Mitzvah Shen Stavu Bnei Noach. That part of our mitzvah is to try to get them to do all of these mitzvahs. If they have to be mekabel these mitzvahs, somebody's got to teach it to them. A third factor to take into account, and the final fact to take into account whether we should or should not teach them these mitzvot, is the notion of Ahavas Hashem. The Rambam has the most beautiful comment in Sefer HaMitzvos when he describes the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. The Rambam says, how do you express a love for something? You ever go to a restaurant and find like a great place to eat that people maybe don't know about, or a dish on the menu that maybe a lot of your friends have never tried, and you discover how delicious it is. So what do? When you find out your friend's looking for a place to go on a date, or he's looking for a place to to celebrate a birthday or something, you thought, oh, you got to try this restaurant. And when you're there, order this dish. Why does that give you a geschmack? You're not going to be eating it. You're not going to be there. Why does that give you a geschmack to tell them, oh, you got to try that? Because when you find some, or you see a new TV show or something that like is amazing, and it's like, oh, you got to check this out. Well, why is that? Because when you find something that you like and you find something that you enjoy, part of the geschmack is in sharing it with others, getting other people to love it also. So lahavdil alef alfei hevdalos, the Rambam writes, what is Avas Hashem? How is Avas Hashem expressed? If you love Hashem so much, you just want to get other people to love Hashem also. You want to get other people to understand Avas Hashem. That is an expression of our Avas Hashem. You know, you meet a new person, oh, this guy's the greatest guy, you got to meet him, you're going to love him. Why does it matter to you whether that person loves him? You already love him. No, because you're so excited about it, you want to share it. So that's perhaps part of Avas Hashem, is to try to get all of the nations of the world to love Hashem. Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perla, in his commentary to Sefer HaMitzvahs of Sadigon, in the end of Mitzvah Yates, says that it's actually referring to the mitzvah of being Mekabel Gerim. Just teaching non-Jews would not be a mitzvah, but to be that's what the Rambam's actually referring to, of being Mekabel Gerim. But that's questionable. It could very well be that the Rambam's referring to this idea, just getting all the non-Jews, even if they're not going to become Gerim, all the non-Jews to appreciate the Ribono Shel Olam. So why the opposition? So first of all, there was opposition, as with a lot of things Lubavitcher Rebbe tried to do, there was significant opposition. So the opposition was formulated, although he was not the only one that was opposed to this movement, the opposition was formulated in Rav Sternbach's Tshuvas Van Hagos, Chel Gimel, Simen Shin Yod Zayin, where he strongly rejects the idea of teaching the Zayin mitzvos, and he gives three reasons, and then of course there's the fourth reason that goes unstated. The three reasons that he gives are, number one, since many of the people that we're going to be teaching are Christians, let's say, and they're going to maintain Christian belief in the Trinity, they're not going to believe in the one and only God. They may observe the Sheva Mitzvos, they may, but if it's all based in a fundamental belief of Avodah Zarah, then it's worthless. Meaning, the kiyum of Sheva Mitzvos is when one observes Sheva Mitzvos because they believe in the one and only God, when that's the motivator for the Kiyum HaMitzvos. But if the Sheva Mitzvah is just being observed because that's what seems moral, that's what seems right, or that, but not because of any God connection, then that is not a real Kiyum of the Sheva Mitzvos. So we're just going to be promoting a deeper Christianity rather than belief in the one and only God. Second objection he has is the Gemara Bava Basra Daviram Beis tells us, based on the pasuk Yavish Katsir Tishavarna, that our galus will only end when the zechuyos of the goyim are dried up. Meaning we are in a better position when we don't afford our enemies the opportunity to amass more zechuyos. Because the more zechuyos our enemies, our oppressors, have, the longer they will be able to be mishabed us. And that's why the Gemara says we shouldn't be mekabel tzedakah from Goyim. Now, we may have an obligation to compel non-Jews to keep Shev Mitzvos, but that's only bisman geula, when we're in control of Eretz Yisrael. Geula has already come, and we're not worried about the extension of the Gullus. But as so long as we're still worried about Gullus extending itself, we should not be promoting the idea of Shev Mitzvos. And his raya is from the Navi Yonah. Why was the Navi Yonah punished? Because he didn't want to get Nineveh to do teshuvah, right? Yeah, but that's only because Hashem specifically commanded him to go to Nineveh and deliver the Nevuah. But you see, absent that, there would not have been anything wrong with Yonah's judgment. Yonah's judgment was only a failure because Hashem had explicitly commanded him. But short of that, his cheshbon was good. His cheshbon was, if they do tshuva, that's going to be bad for Klal Yisrael. We don't want to promote too much good behavior. Now, at the same time, you know, we certainly have an issur of lifnei iver to entice non-Jews or encourage them to sin, but that doesn't necessarily mean we should be promoting good behavior. Maybe it just means we should stay out of it and we should mind our own business. The third and final reason Rav Shurmach gives is that we have no arvus toward Goyim. Rav Moshe, it's reported in the Sefer Mesoros Moshe, Chelek Aleph, page 504-505, opposed teaching the Sheva Mitzvahs to Goyim, because we have no mitzvah of Tochcha to Goyim. And probably as a practical matter, if we're seen to be missionizing, that could really backfire. Meaning, even though we're not looking to make gerim, we're just looking for them to believe what we want them to believe, that looks like missionizing a little bit, and that could really backfire on the Jewish people. So maybe as a public policy, it might be a poor idea to do that. And what goes unstated, but is obviously part of this, is that a major thrust of what the Lubavitcher Rebbe was trying to accomplish was because of the Mashiach push. And while we all believe in the Yud Gimli Kari Amuna and the Chol Yom Sheyavo, that you could understand that based on the nature of the messianism that the Lubavitch movement seemed to have been heading in, there was a lot of opposition in the yeshiva world, and there was always going to be a pushback on anything that relates to that sort of messianism. So you would imagine that part of the pushback related to that, even though that goes unstated in Rosh Shurmach's Tshuva. Okay.